Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for being here, as always, and thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. So before we start the show and get to the meat of the matter, or the beer of the matter in this case, I'd like to thank Pima Association of Governments for their sponsorship of this show, for their support of Mrs. Green's world mission and vision, and for everything they do to contribute to the quality of life for all of us living in Pima County. They really are a force. A lot of people don't know what they do, but when you start looking at their website and see what they do, they make a lot of things work for us, and you can find them at pagregion.com. So take a deep breath, everybody. Today we are going to be getting the inside scoop about stormwater and about what may be surprising uses for it and how it may show up in your beer sooner than you think. I mean, not literally, but it's going to be, we need water. Please join me in welcoming my two in-studio guests, Mead Mayer, who is the Pima Association of Governments Sustainability Coordinator. That's a big job. And Mike Malozzi, President of Borderlands Brewery. And a good brewery it is, Mike. And nice Italian name, right?
Grazie.
I'm a Jersey girl, so I always pick out those Italian boys. Yeah. It's like it's in my blood. Thank you both for being here. So, Mead, with these kinds of shows, I always have to be very cautious because I know what all the acronyms are. And I throw out PAG, like everybody knows what PAG is. So why don't you tell us, what is PAG?
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for having us. Pima Association of Governments is the regional metro planner and regional council, and we have a focus on mobility, sustainability, and livability, and we conduct the urban planning for the metro area in Pima County.
And, you know, even when you say that, I mean, think of those words. Every word is intentional. Mobility, how we get around, kind of big. How we sustain the community and the quality of life. I mean, they're intentional words, but they do impact us whether we're aware of what PAG is doing or not. So one of my favorite topics of all to talk about anywhere, ever, is water, because it is the source of all life. We live in a desert. We're on track to have 117, 115, do I hear 120?
God, I hope
degree.
Not.
I know, really, please. Can you please repeat that? God, I hope not, too. Are you listening, God? Because we will pray on the air if you think that will help. So let's talk about PAG promoting regional watershed health to sustain our desert water resources. I've never been so excited about who's stepping up. We have watershed management. There are things we can do to see that Santa Cruz flowing in 50 years, as Joaquin Murrieta says.
It's exciting.
I'll be dead, but it's okay. I hope you have a good time on the raft. Okay, so talk about that.
Well, so my work in coordinating watershed health for the region includes a few different aspects.
There's a lot of aspects.
Yeah, there's conserving our drinking water, there's protecting our creeks, and also preventing stormwater pollution. So three varied aspects, but they all contribute to our watershed health. And we manage our stormwater in the region because it's an important resource to the desert, even though it comes only seasonally. And there's a couple of important ways that the whole community can help manage our stormwater that I wanted to talk about, and as well as ways that our municipal governments are
helping
out.
Definitely talk about what we can do. Right.
One interesting thing about stormwater quality is that the most significant source of pollution is what they call non-point source pollutants, which means the pollutants that are gathered from small sources throughout the region and created by little activities that everyone does in their daily lives. So whether it's a leaking vehicle or not, someone who might not pick up after their dog.
Oil on the ground,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Even
right.
Litter, or if somebody chooses to use yard chemicals, those all accumulate and contribute to be the largest source of pollution in our region. So what we can all do to help out is just improve those daily pollution prevention activities.
So I'm just going to ask you a very personal question. I don't watch a lot of TV. I watch less TV now than I ever have in my life. And as a matter of fact, I'm on a TV blackout. So what do you do when you see those commercials where they're so excited about that that stuff that kills the weeds? I don't even remember the name of it.
Oh.
Roundup.
And they're like, "You, it's so easy and you can do this." And I'm like, people, I scream at the TV, "Do you understand what you're doing? And you could be killing your pets and any other birds." Or, I mean, it's like, it's the devil of the dirt.
Yeah, there's a lot of toxins in
that. Do you do a lot of deep breathing? Don't use Roundup. And don't get your house sprayed by toxic chemicals for pest control either. Use an eco-friendly pest person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Or other mulch helps prevent weeds. Mulch. There's other ways to prevent.
I think if you just Google, alternative weed control.
It's not that hard, Mike. It just takes, you're right, it's one Google click away. Yeah. So
make it safer for kids in the yard and even the geckos.
I know. Environment.
Even the geckos. We have a wildlife habitat out here because of that bird feeder, and we're constantly showing guests, and James and I are looking at it all the time. But Mead, just, this is not the big picture of the show, but it really matters. For people that listen to this from around the country, when the monsoons come, the volume of water that comes down in such a short amount of time is mind-boggling. So isn't it somewhat true that if we found ways to really have that water be stopped in our yards and in businesses, it would fill the water, the groundwater table would go up, yes?
That's true in some situations.
Okay.
We would definitely promote what we call green infrastructure, which is mimicking the way nature would naturally hold the water in the environment.
Right, right.
As opposed to the way it runs quickly down a street where there's new hard surfaces.
And it would help support the development of plants and ecosystems and yards and green spaces around businesses.
And it all matters. That's what Joaquin from Watershed Management talks about. Everybody doing a little bit.
And if you live near a creek, such as Sabino Canyon, and you put those practices in your yard, you might be able to recharge the shallow aquifer right below your house.
Everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wins.
And in town, if you do rainwater harvesting or stormwater harvesting across your landscape, in town we have a deeper aquifer, so you might not be able to recharge the aquifer right below you, but you can still help slow down the flows a little, prevent some flooding downstream, and reduce the water use that you use in your yard by using that stormwater instead.
And collect it if you're a business that uses a lot of water. I mean, there's so many things you can do. So one of the things PAG does, correct, is to really encourage infrastructure, green infrastructure practices.
That's right.
So encourage.
And we work with the local cities, towns, and Pima County to incorporate that into their policies and their guidance manuals so that businesses know how to use those practices.
So to just clarify, I know that reducing all of this and helping, and it's not expensive. That's the other thing. People can put little wells around their trees. There's a lot of things you can do. It doesn't mean everybody has to install rainwater harvesting. But when you do that, tell us a little bit about the ripple of effect of how that really improves the environment, which is where we live, in the environment.
There's, as you say, a number of benefits. So first of all, you can reduce your irrigation, so you're saving our potable drinking water by capturing the storm water. Then you can use that water for beneficial use to grow a tree, and that tree could shade your house and reduce your energy bills. We encourage it along streets as well, where you could get a permit to install a curb cut and pull the water off the street. And
that's what Brad Lancaster started doing, right? He was on one of my first five shows 10 years ago.
And a real leader.
And it was against the law. Now it's encouraged. I mean, seriously. He got in trouble. Have the curb cut. So that's how that's good change. The winds of change are a-blowing, and it's for the best. So what is, if we've covered that, we've paid true homage to PAG and all of that they do to make this work. And I want to talk about, like, trees. Even when I'm walking, what side of the street do you think I walk on? the shady side of the street. It's like, that makes me smart. Okay, let's talk about what is this wonderful combination of letters, C2E. Tell us about that.
This links right up to our green infrastructure.
Is this a perfect segue?
Yeah.
I like perfect segues.
<Good job. laughs>
I think I'm going to start doing this for a living.
Well, it really, C2E links to green infrastructure work. So that's why PAG is supporting this program. Because conserve to enhance.
Oh, so conserve, C, yeah. The number two. Which is an, okay, I got it, to enhance. Yeah. I got it. I'm catching on. I am not the brightest blue in the crayon box, but I am the brightest green. Okay, so good.
And the conserve part of conserve and enhance encourages the community to save water.
Residential and commercial customers.
Yes.
Right.
And it's a newer part of our program, but we're really working with businesses to help be partners as well. And then by saving water, then we ask those participants to donate their financial savings that they have on their water bills. We help them to track it with a private login that they get to track their water use. And then out of their savings, if they choose to donate that, we use that to fund community grants to restore our watershed. So those grants are funded to community groups who might choose to restore green infrastructure along their roadway if they have a roadway that functions as a wash in their neighborhood, or to restore a natural wash, or we hope it will help restore some creeks in the future as well.
So do you with your army of all those team you have, those 40 people you have working for you, just kidding, do you do a lot of the outreach to, this is an education process.
Yeah, so Mead and I both serve on the outreach committee, and so that's a big part of what we're trying to do is.
And are you doing it as a volunteer?
Oh, yeah.
Go, Mike. I see your face out there, too. Yeah. So tell us.
Yeah, so I think the big part of what outreach in C2E is trying to accomplish is make people aware of, really the riparian watershed system throughout the city. And many of the washes in town here are unnamed washes that just run through streets, which is why so many streets in Tucson are flooded. And so I think a lot of the projects that C2E funds are helping to develop programs and develop infrastructure to help prevent some of that flooding and really reestablish some of the riparian ecosystems along those washes and in neighborhoods that are really affected by that.
And I just have to do my own personal shout out about Borderlands Brewery. And you know this. I'm not a beer drinker. No, I want to.
Okay,
it's because why you're volunteering to do this. You have credibility because you're a business owner. It is a really cool place to go.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
A sense of community. I'm not, I'm not making this up. I can't. I don't even know how to do that. So you have art from other artists, pieces of art that it's a real community, locally owned business. And at my lunch meeting today, I just said, we went to Finney's Landing, and I said, why would anyone eat in a chain? You know, Scott, one of the owners, is there. When we come to your place, there's always an owner there. If you go, even with Maynard's, you can find Todd, you can find Richard.
Yeah.
It's just different. Renee's Organic Oven. I'm trying to shout out all the restaurants I love. Prep.
Yeah.
Nathan is always around. Yeah. Nate's everywhere. And Renee and my friends who own Gourmet Girls, gluten-free. It's just different, and I don't understand why anybody doesn't do that. So they should go out and have a brew with you and come down there. But it's, and you believe in sustainable brewing.
Absolutely.
So that's why you're involved.
That's why we got involved. C2E was an opportunity. First of all, I think it's important to take a step back and say the brewing industry is probably, besides agriculture, one of the largest users of water.
What the heck is that doing? It's growing, too. It's so cool. It's the part that's growing is the part I like, the local breweries.
Right, exactly. And so I think it behooves us to make sure that we're conserving water. It's definitely a big part of our use of resources. And so I wanted to get involved in C2E to be as a member of that industry. And I think one of the things we did early on was to get one of the Tucson water audits to help us identify those places where we can conserve water. And so that was a real benefit, I think, of joining C2E.
You know, Tucson is such, I love it here, obviously. I like to sing praises to Tucson, but I was at a meeting yesterday with TEP, and I was with Peter Dobrovolny, from the 2030, Emerging 2030 District, which is doing great things. And we were talking about how awesome the water department is. City of Tucson, they're a partner of mine. I love it when other people bring it up. But they're working very hard to make sure we have water, period. And doing all kinds of partnerships, and it's glad to hear, I'm glad to hear you say that, that they're...
Yeah, they really believe in a reliable water supply.
They really do, and they're making the best to have it. So, Mike, this is where your experience with Borderland Brewing comes in. Like I said, how are businesses getting involved? Like, what do you do?
Right.
What are some of the opportunities is a better way to ask the question.
Absolutely. So some of the things that we're working on at C2E as part of our outreach efforts is to really start to get the business community involved. And one of the things that we are offering is different sponsorship levels so that depending on your ability, you can have you could potentially be listed on the C2E website. We could be posting about you on Facebook.
To exposure for the business.
To exposure for the business.
As one of the good guys.
Right. And we have multiple C2E project sites throughout town that have a bunch of signage. And we're talking about having businesses sponsor specific projects so that when everyone goes to a park that has really benefited from a C2E project, they can see that there. In addition, we're also starting a business pilot program. And this is something that Mead and I kind of spearheaded along with some of the other members of the outreach committee, and I think it's kind of really exciting. So one of the things that we're doing is working to provide businesses with a loan opportunity, because as a business owner, I know how hard it is to keep cash in the business.
Yes,
you know, cash comes in and then it goes out.
Cash flow, it's the two words of every business owner.
Yes.
I don't care how big or how small you get, cash flow rules.
That's right. And no matter how much you would love, like for us, for example, to install solar panels on the roof, Lord knows we do not have the money to do it.
Right. That's not coming. Oh my gosh. I so get it.
And so I quickly realized that C2E had an opportunity here to really draw in business support, because what we can do in coordination with the CIC, which is the Community Investment Corporation,
okay,
which is a public-private partnership that helps fund various things throughout town that really improve
I probably need to
the
know
quality
more about
of life.
That.
You should learn about it. They helped us set up a loan program so that businesses can improve and conserve water through various projects. And the very first pilot project is going to get started at Five Points Deli. And they're installing some rainwater harvesting, and they're actually creating a little parklet on the side of the building so people can go and enjoy all
through this
water
loan?
Through rainwater. Yep.
That's really
exciting.
Awesome.
And like, then
really awesome.
The idea is once they've paid off that loan, they can continue to make those payments into the C2E program.
So it builds the fund.
Keeps going. Yeah.
Builds the fund. I mean, circular economy.
Yeah.
Gotta love that. There's a lot of that happening. This Sustainable Tucson meeting that we went to packed the room. We all were broken up into different groups. And water, of course, had its own group because it's really critical that some of these things happen. What about if you are a homeowner? Can they be significant contributors? I mean, unless you have a big estate, or who can help? Are they out of it, Mead?
So far, that's what has funded the C2E program entirely. Where these business partners are a new addition to our program, but we've been able to fund 10 projects over the last 5 years so far, just by small donations that come in on people's water bills. Or come in online on the C2E website.
Yeah. So there's a checkbox right on your water bill where you can check and donate just a dollar if you want. And
you know what's interesting? Yeah. I'm like sitting here, why don't I know about it? You know why? Because I do electronic billing.
Yeah.
And all I see is the amount that's due. I push a button and I don't even look at my water use because we're pretty consistent. We have all zero scape and drip irrigation for the plants we do have.
I'll show you how to sign up.
So, and that should be something that we should put in the write-up for the show so that people know how to do it, because why would you not go to e-billing? It's so green and it takes time, but I don't see those things. There's no flyers in my e-bill.
Right.
We have a way to sign up online too for those like me who like just an automated bill.
Me too. That's what I want.
Conservetoenhance.org.
Okay. Okay.
Flash Tucson.
Yes.
So you were talking about, and I may have cut you off in my absolute passion to talk about microbreweries and their growth, water-intensive breweries.
Yes.
So how do you contribute
yeah.
at Borderlands?
So if you look at the industry, I think it takes about 6 gallons sometimes of water to make a gallon of beer. And why is that? That's kind of shocking at first. Well, if you think about all the cleaning that has to happen and all the boil off and all of this stuff, it actually makes sense. And so some of the most forward-thinking breweries in the country that are very concerned about sustainability, immediately New Belgium and Sierra Nevada come to mind. They are doing some amazing things.
I had New Belgium on the show, too. I sound like, it's so predictable, but yeah. I had the president on a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And not just that water stuff, but everything they do with
yeah.
bikes and the reward system.
Yeah.
And they are green from
impressive.
Inside out. So what are they doing?
Well, they have gazillions of dollars, so they're doing everything. But
they don't have to have a loan
yeah.
fund. They should be funding the loans.
Yeah, exactly. What we did is we actually got some rainwater harvesting tanks, which allowed us to capture some of our cooling water.
That's huge.
Yeah. So every boil that we do, has to be chilled down to room temperature. Otherwise, the yeast would die if you put it in there. So it has to be chilled to room temperature. And to do that, we use cold water. And so we're able to capture that cold water and then chill it again and use it again. And that was a big part of water savings in the brewery. The other things you can do is kind of like use some of your cleaning water in multiple tanks before you actually, put it down the drain. Just
Got
thoughtful
it.
Things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but that's big savings
yeah.
when you multiply it by the number of breweries.
Absolutely.
All
we have a waterless urinal in the bathroom, things like that. So.
What's that guy's name? Blue?
Blue Cube, I think.
I don't know. That helps too. Mm-hmm. Every flush that
yep.
you don't do helps with the water.
In the urinal, we have a sign up that says, "This waterless urinal helps us save water to make beer." You can help us save water by
no
not putting your trash
to the beer.
In the urinal.
It's like, yeah. Don't even think about that.
Yeah.
So this really was like you guys cooked this up, this C2E.
Oh,
take
no.
full credit.
No way.
We were coming up with some ways to work with businesses,
yeah.
but it's been a program initiated by the UA Water
Resource Center.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And the Sonoran Institute and Watershed Management Group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not forgetting anyone.
City of...
And Tucson Water.
Tucson Water.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
And now
the
we're helping to expand
part.
It to
Got it.
Additional water providers throughout the region to really grow the program and grow the impact.
Yeah.
So do you literally, like... cold call people, or do you target businesses? How do you get businesses?
We're starting by targeting just through our relationships with
okay.
businesses.
Best
and
place to start.
Yeah, and we're really targeting those businesses that have shown leadership in sustainability. So.
We also, Tucson Water is helping us contact the highest water users in the region who have been interested in saving more water and who have participated in these rebate programs or these... water audit programs so that we can go into people who are already interested.
So I'm going to ask you both kind of a personal question because I think we have a really good view of this. We're going to get some information about how to find you. From your own personal lives, like I look at you and I know Mike and I know a lot about you personally for the way that you live. And to me, what drives me now is every day the consciousness around the acceleration of climate change. Is this work, a lot of it, come from a place of you care so deeply about the acceleration of climate change? Where are you on that spectrum?
Oh, I think, of course, I think if you're not passionate about the subject, you're not going to be motivated to make change. So,
and I kind of live in a bubble because the people I hang out with, they all care. They all care and they want to do something.
But, I think there's an important point. I was just listening to this story on the radio about this place in Texas, in rural Texas, that has like the most wind energy produced in the country. And no one who had turbines built on their farm believed in climate change at all. And so that actually is not necessarily the most motivating factor. The important point for them is that it's a real revenue source. And it's cheap and it doesn't pollute. And I think people, I think it's important to remember you have to meet people where they are. And totally. It's not necessarily banging them over the head about climate
change.
Well,
that's why I was asking you personally. Because to me, I don't go banging. My whole thing is we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to.
Yeah.
So it's really exposing people to information. If you bang them or make them guilt, they run away and shut their ears. And who wouldn't?
Right.
So it was really just a personal question about where you come from. Because to me, it's there. And I don't talk about it a lot in the outside. This is my forum to talk about, find out about the ravages of climate change. And these programs help mitigate it big time.
Absolutely.
Not just about saving water, because that does help. But it's
and saving water helps save dollars and cents, too.
It's green. I love that you brought that up. It's a green, the green economy is here to stay. Yeah. And it does bring jobs and it does help. And we have to now work on figuring out how to get you that financing for solar.
Sure.
It's like, get that.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there other aspects of the program that we didn't because we're having too much fun that we really need to talk about? Because that can happen on Mrs. Green's World. It's like, I know you guys, and it's like we're having a private conversation, but we have listeners that need to learn more.
Well, I'd love to thank Mike and all of our other partners who helped C2E to happen. As he was saying, he's a volunteer on the advisory council. And we have other partners like the Community Investment Corporation that's providing the loans is a partner on the council. So we're trying to seek more partnerships because that's how we've been functioning so far. But as we raise funds, we'll be able to grow more as an organization.
I think
as well.
We may have some advisory council positions opening up. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested,
just contact one of them.
Yeah.
So the other point you made about a little bit of money from each person can make a really big difference. Like you said,
you say make your drops count.
Make your drops count. I might have to put that down. I'm going to write that down. That sounds like a hashtag. Make your drops count. I like to have those little jewels I take away, but it's like do more blue. I mean, everybody knows what that means. Mm-hmm. And water. Use it wisely. I mean, those are things that are important.
Let it mellow. Just kidding.
I do. If it's brown, flush it down. We can say that. I'm obsessed with flushing, so it's okay. Pee in the shower.
My work motivations overlap completely with my personal lifestyle.
That's what I was getting
at. Career.
Yeah.
And I've just always been passionate about water savings as somebody who was born and raised in the desert. And so I really love the C2E program because it helps link everything. Water conservation to results in the environment, because that was a missing link previously. Not all water savings, they help our long-term sustainable supply of water for our homes, but we needed that link to protect the environment, and this is a way for people to donate their savings to benefit our creeks.
And you made a great point about, you know, shade and trees and all that. And we do live in the desert, and we have a lot of pretty trees. Let's face it, we really do. And it matters to me that when you go down the street, there are trees, even if they are Palo Verde. I mean, it's like I'm a Jersey girl, but it really does. It adds to the beauty. It helps with it being a heat island and all of those things. There's lots of, who doesn't like trees?
Yeah.
Oh, I know those people that are cutting them down by hectares at a time in the rainforest. That's a different kind of money that they're caring about.
It has so many benefits to our community. If we make it green infrastructure, trees, a part of our urban design, then it has all these benefits to traffic safety,
people
making it more pleasant to bike and walk, making businesses want to move here.
Quality of life. I want to say to everybody, you can always find out, you know, MrsGreensWorld.com. My Facebook page is the same. It's Mrs. Green's World. Twitter, Mrs. Green's World. If you ever are driving and you're listening to this podcast on your little gizmo, you can always ask us for how to find guests. And it's PagRegion.com is the website. The Facebook is PagRegion. And Twitter is PagRegion. And I just want to do a shout out for the next two shows we have, June 27th. I hope you all listen to this. I got interviewed by Kelly King, 10 years celebrating of making an impact.
Cool.
It's the 10-year anniversary. It's the first time I was on the other side of the microphone. And then another show that is great. This is part of it, too. On June 29th, Karen Hollish from the Pima Animal Care Center. Big fans of those. You know, take care of the four-leggeds. You guys, this was almost too much fun. Agreed?
Thank you so much.
Pulled off a great show. And thank you, everybody. Save water. Conserve it. Use it wisely. seriously and check out all the programs we mentioned. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.